May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 957. 957. Why sinks my weak, desponding mind? Why heaves my heart the anxious sigh? Can sovereign goodness be unkind? Am I not safe, since God is nigh? Hymn 957.
Thank you. read together from the Holy Word of God, from the Gospel according to John chapter 6. The Gospel according to John chapter 6, and we'll read to the end of verse 44. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above, unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship. And they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And we'll leave the reading of God's holy word there, and may he bless it to us and help us now as we come before him in prayer. Kind and gracious and merciful, and eternal Lord God in heaven, we gather together in this house of prayer this Lord's Day morning. We pray, Lord, that thy presence and thy blessing might be upon us and upon the worship of thy great and holy name this day. We pray, Lord, that thou grant us the sense of thy presence here, that thou wilt reveal thyself, that thou wilt, Lord, bless thy own word, and that thou wilt command a blessing this day, even life forevermore. We pray that we may know those drawings of the Heavenly Father. We pray that we may know the leading of the gracious Holy Spirit of God, that he may take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us. And pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless the preaching and the reading of thy word and the singing of thy praises. And bless them to our never dying souls, we pray. And we pray, Lord, for that divine application, that the word that is spoken this day may come right where we are. We pray, Lord, that in those drawings and leadings, we may each be brought to Jesus Christ. We may find in him the meeting of all of our needs, the answering of all of our questions, and the putting away of all of our sin. So we pray, Lord, that thy blessing might be made known here this day, that it may be unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Lord, that this may prove to be one of thy appointments. Lord, that thy name might be honoured and glorified, and that a song of eternal praise may spring up within each heart. We pray for this church and congregation. Lord, we pray that thou look upon them in thy mercy and thy compassion, that thou send them that help that they need day by day, week by week. Lord, we pray that thou bless the deacons and grant them thy gracious help as they hold office in this place. Lord, we pray that they may prove their sufficiency is of God. And pray, Lord, that thou grant them that help and that wisdom and that grace to fulfill that office thou hast put them into. And Lord, we do pray for the church here. We ask, Lord, that thou grant thy presence continually as they gather themselves together in thy name, and as they go out in their coming and going. Lord, we pray thy abiding presence. And Lord, we pray for the congregation. We ask, Lord, that thou bless them and help them and teach and lead and guide them. We pray, Lord, that thou make known thyself to them. And grant, Lord, that power of the Holy Spirit in their souls. Lord, that there may be that constraining, revealing of the love of Christ toward them personally, and that leading them into the ways of God. Lord, we pray that there may be that constraining of many to take up their cross and to follow thee, and to walk in obedience to thy commands, the commands of the gospel. And they will find that thy commandments are not grievous. And so, Lord, we do pray for thy blessing here in this place. We do thank thee, Lord, for the opportunity thou hast given us to meet together for worship. Lord, we pray that thou would ever spare us this privilege of public collective worship together. Lord, we pray that we may ever have that freedom, that liberty to worship. Lord, we pray that we may not, Lord, suffer persecution as others do in this day we live in. We pray, Lord, that we may be spared it in our nation, that we may ever have our liberty, our freedom of worship. Lord, may we not take these freedoms for granted. Lord, may we ever seek to praise and thank thee for it. And Lord, we pray that where there is that persecution in the nations of the earth, that thou wilt bring an end to it. And Lord, set thy church free in our day and generation. Lord, we pray that the power of sin and Satan may be restrained. Lord, we pray there may be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God in the day we live in. And Lord, we pray that there may be that reviving of true godliness in our day and generation. Lord, we pray that the rising generation may be a generation that seek for better things. Lord, a desire in their hearts to know the truth. Lord, we pray that there may be that hearing of the truth. Lord, we pray there may not be a famine in the hearing of the word of God, but that thou wilt continue to send out labourers into the harvest. Lord, we pray that thou wilt raise up those to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And Lord, that thy Spirit may go forth and attend the preaching of the word. Lord, how essential. Oh, take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Lord, as we meet for worship, as thy people gather for worship, Lord, we pray that thy Spirit may remain and abide among us. Lord, thou hast promised to never leave thy people nor forsake them. Lord, we pray that the local churches may be blessed with thy abiding presence also. Lord, that there may not be a removing of the candlestick. Lord, that there may not be that grieving of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, that we may ever be conscious and aware of these things. Lord, that we may be kept humble. Lord, that it may be humbled yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Lord, do deliver us then from the power of sin. Lord, we have indwelling sin. Lord, we pray that thou create in us a clean heart, O God. Thou renew a right spirit within us. We pray, Lord, that Thou bring us to true repentance and confession of sin. Lord, that Thou lead us to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may know what it is to come to His feet. Oh, we pray that we may know what it is to turn out the tents of our hearts. Pray, Lord, that we may know that true confession, or that we may hold nothing back, keep nothing from Thee. But Lord, do bless us with that true spirit of confession of sin. We come, Lord, with that promise. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, we stand in need of much cleansing. Oh Lord, there's much wrong with our lives. Lord, keep us from thinking that we have something in us good to bring. Oh Lord, we pray that we may see our own righteousnesses for what they are, filthy rags. Oh Lord, may we be found in necessity, conscious of our own need, as sinners before Thee, fleeing to the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking for that refuge in Him, that spotless righteousness of Christ, or that it might be ours by imputation, or that we may have a hope of it here below, and the realization of it at that great day. Lord, do remember us then, we pray. Lord, leave us not to rest short. Leave us not to build on false hopes, a sandy foundation. Lord, may there be a reality in our religion. Oh, may our religion be real. Oh, we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt grant us tokens and evidences of that reality. Oh, Lord, that Thou wilt make Thyself to us a living, bright reality. Oh, we pray that, that Thou wilt reveal more and more of Thy Son in us, that it might be Christ in you, the hope of glory. Bless each of the friends, Lord, we pray. The children, we commit them into Thy gracious hands. Lord, who undertake for them in all of their untrodden steps. Lord, do remember them and help them, grant them that understanding. Lord, who make them wise unto salvation. Lord, who be that wall of fire round about them. Be the glory in the midst. Overshadow them with Thy divine influence and supply them with all the grace they need as they grow up in this dark and difficult day. Grant, Lord, that help to each and the parents and each of the friends, Lord, in the daily matters of life, in business, in the workplace, in the home, Lord, among our neighbours, in our dealings with the world around us. Oh, that we may be those lights shining in this dark world. Oh, that may be that glorifying of Thee. That may be ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Help us then to witness that good witness. May we not bring reproach on Thy holy name. O Lord, keep us in Thy power and in Thy love and mercy. And leave us not to go alone. Lord, do help us then. Keep us ever clinging and cleaving unto Thee, seeking for Thy direction in our daily providential things. Lord, but above all these things, in the matters concerning our souls. And so may, Lord, we prove in providence and in grace that thou art our Father, and that we are thy children. Oh, do then have mercy upon us each. Forgive us, Lord, anything that is amiss in our worship. Lord, we are sinners, Lord. We come and seek and attempt to worship thee. Lord, thou knowest, Lord, our every need. Oh, do grant us that help. Lord, we pray that anything spoken amiss may be forgotten and forgiven of thee. Lord, those things which are of thee, may they remain and abide in our hearts. And may there be those things received this day. Oh, that, Lord, bring a thanksgiving in our hearts that we have been privileged to worship a living God. So remember us, Lord, and forgive all that is amiss, and wash us and cleanse us from all our sin. And may our worship ascend through our Lord Jesus Christ. May these petitions, though poor, and Lord, our faith at times so weak, oh, may they be made acceptable through thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask these things. We ask for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 113. Who but the soul that's led to know how just and holy is the law will to the cross of Christ repair and seek salvation only there. Hymn 113.
turn with me to the chapter we read, the Gospel according to John, chapter 6. And with the Lord's help this morning, I'll speak to you from verse 37. The Gospel according to John, chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The Gospel according to John, chapter 6, and the 37th verse. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This is a most precious word. It speaks of, well, it speaks of election, it speaks of that covenant of grace. It speaks of the security, the safety of the people of God. And it's a very, very precious word. It's been precious to many over the years, and I pray it might be precious to you in the true receiving and understanding of it. You may be, by the grace of God, able to see, brought to see, your part in it. This was spoken to these that were rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. In the previous verse, "But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not." We read, don't we? He came to his own, and his own received him not. For the most part, the Jewish nation rejected him. And it would seem that they, in their rejection, they felt justified. It's a solemn thing, isn't it? But they were under the impression that they were justified, that they were right. The thought in their minds was that if Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, that they would know it, that they would feel it. And because they saw no beauty in him, and because he didn't measure up to their preconceived expectations, they felt that he couldn't be it. He couldn't be the one. And so he was, by many, dismissed as nothing. Is his mother, is his father not Joseph, and his mother Mary? In another gospel, is not this the carpenter's son? We know his brethren. We know his parents. It's Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And he was set at naught. But this is the reply. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Oh, what was then their rejection? What a solemn thing. They thought he couldn't possibly be the promised Messiah, because they felt nothing toward him. They saw no beauty in him. He, in their estimation, wasn't the one. And the Lord solemnly tells them why it's the case, why this rejection of him. They're not rejecting him on good grounds, right reasons. These things are extremely solemn. And hear the word, friends. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Oh, may you and I, in the fulfilling of time for us, prove to be among those that shall come, that do come, that must come. Well, there the Lord says. Oh, the certainty of it. They must come, they shall come, they will come, because the Father's given them. And he's given them to me, says the Lord Jesus. And I've come to save them from their sins. And they will be taught of the Lord. They will receive the Holy Spirit in their hearts. They will be brought out of darkness into light. That they will pass from death unto life. That they will know the love of God in their hearts. And they will see me. And see a beauty in me, and desire none but me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Well, it isn't it's not the doctrine of election and predestination, and it isn't the covenant of grace that I feel led to bring before you, or particularly to dwell on, but may the Lord lead you each in your own thoughts and considerations. But it was really the Lord Jesus Christ and coming to me. You know, I was speaking to a friend, and he was relating to me a recent trip to Israel and going to Jerusalem. And he mentioned, you know, some of the gates in Jerusalem. And in passing, he mentioned the sheep gate. I think he said it's no longer there. The Jerusalem being extended. But, you know, there is that word, isn't there? I am the door. I am the door. The Lord Jesus speaking of himself. I am the door. The point of entry. You know, you think in that context, a sheepfold. Well, there's one point of entry, one in and out, one passage between the walls of that sheepfold, that enclosure, and the sheep pass through one point of entry. Jesus said, I am the door. And how we think of the shepherd who sat between and literally blocked the entrance with himself. Well, Jesus said, I am the door. You know, in the days of Nehemiah, there was a rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. And in chapter 3 of Nehemiah, we have a list of those that built. There was a stirring up of the heart of the people. Nehemiah was used of the Lord. He returned, didn't he? And he such a love in his heart toward God and toward the city Jerusalem. And It was a distress to him to think of the ruins of Jerusalem. And there was that rebuilding. And you know, In that chapter 3, it begins the first verse, and it has the high priest and the priests. They begin building, and they begin with the sheep gate. In that chapter, there's 10 gates mentioned. I think there's 6 of them that are mentioned of being repaired and rebuilt. And the various people that were involved with either the walls between or the gates themselves in the rebuilding of them. The priests began. And we're told that they sanctified that sheep gate. It was where the offering was brought in. It was there that the offering was brought into the city. There through the walls, through the sheep gate. And there's various gates. There's the fish gate, there's the fountain gate. There's many gates, but there, the sheep gate. The only one that we read was sanctified. And all those other 6 that are mentioned on there being reinstated, the repairing of them, 5 of the 6 we read had bolts, had locks and bars. No mention of the sheep gate. No locks or bars. You know, there's something in that. And you come to the very end of chapter 3 of Nehemiah and you find they've come right round and they're back to the start, back to the sheep gate. You know, friends, there's something in these things. Well, outside the sheep gate, it was a brook, wasn't there? Kidron. And crossing that brook, the Mount of Olives and Gethsemane. And how often our Lord Jesus passed through the sheep gate, bodily himself. John says, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God." Well, the point here, friends, the first point regarding our text this morning for me is access. Access. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Oh, there's access. There's access, friends. Oh, there's access through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you think of him as, in the context of as he spoke of himself as the I am the door. Oh, it's by me, he said. It's by him, it's in him, through him, that the sinner must come. I am the door, by me, if any man enter in. This is John 10, verse 9. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Oh, like that sheep gate. No lock, no bar. Access. Oh, that, friends, we live in a gospel day, a day of the gospel of the grace of God. Oh, what access. What access for the Gentiles. From the day of Pentecost onwards, there's been, oh, this making known of the grace and mercy and love of God toward poor, unworthy sinners. And they found access. Oh, they found a point of entry into the holiest of all. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. we should ever be shut out forever. The wall barred and no entry point. But the mercy of God, as revealed in Jesus Christ through the gospel of his grace, sets forth a point of entry, sets forth access for poor, guilty, unworthy sinners through, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it is a precious thing. Shall come to me. Shall come to me. Oh, the hymn says, the door of his mercy stands open all day. All day to the poor and the needy who knock by the way. I ask you this. Are you among those that are knocking? Has the Lord brought you to knock? Poor and needy, who knock by the way. Oh, that's such a beautiful hymn, isn't it? Number 11. Yeah, the door of verse 5, the door of thy mercy stands open all day to the poor and needy who knock by the way, no sinner shall ever be empty, sent back, who comes seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. No sinner shall ever be empty, sent back. Oh, that's the door of acceptance you and I long to knock at, isn't it? Friends, there is a door. When that door is answered, when that door opens, it's a guaranteed acceptance and welcome. Oh, you're knocking. Keep knocking, friend. Oh, if you're knocking at the door of Jesus, oh, he must surely open according to the promise of the Word of God. Friend, what an encouragement. Access. Access for the lost. Access for the weary. You want the refuge that's within the walls. You want the comfort and consolation that the people of God have. Friend, there's only one point of entry, one way of access, and it's through the Lord Jesus. Oh, the dear Lord Jesus Christ. And what's your encouragement this morning? Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You know, there was one cast out of the wedding, wasn't there? And he had no wedding garment on. Oh, friend, there is none cast out that come through Jesus Christ. Oh, none that knock at the door of Jesus and come in his name, pleading his merits, seeking for mercy through him, pleading his blood, his righteousness, his perfect life. No casting out. No rejection. Oh, when that great day comes, oh, no being put to shame. Oh, no refusal. Oh, no mistake. Oh, that promise of the Saviour, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. We have access and we have acceptance. Acceptance. Who is acceptable? Well, in the fullness of the word, one man, Jesus Christ, is acceptable in the sight of God. But, oh, the countless numbers that have come to the Lord Jesus found access. They found acceptance. In him they are acceptable. Out of Christ we are unacceptable. But in Jesus Christ, the sinner is accepted. Because he is saved with an everlasting salvation. The death of Jesus Christ, sufficient and complete to atone, to put away their sin forever, to make peace with God, and to make them therefore acceptable in the sight of God. Oh, this is a precious truth. In Jesus Christ, the sinner has access and he has acceptance. Acceptance. Oh, there is a coming to him. The Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you it." Give it. Not sell it to you. Give it you. Give it. Oh, that an acceptance in the sight of God, where in themselves they have no acceptance. You know, what does sin do? What has it done? What have we seen it do? From the moment Adam and Eve sinned, what did it bring? What did they find immediately? They knew for the first time what it was to sin. And they knew the effect of it. It separated. The one with whom they had acceptance in their sinless state, in a state of creation, they were accepted. That God was present. But the moment that sin was committed, they had that knowledge of it. They had partaken of it. Tasted what it was to rebel against God. And they felt the effect. Oh, as they ate that sinful thing, that which was forbidden, they felt the effect of it. And it opened up a gulf, a chasm, a great void between them and God. So much so that they tried to hide themselves in the garden. And they attempted to cover their shame and hide behind some fig leaf coverings. There was a great wedge driven between, and it had sin written over it, and it separated. Unacceptable. And they felt it. They felt ashamed and embarrassed. And they felt something of their unacceptance before God. They knew they'd sinned. Oh, and they felt the effect of it. What about you and I? You know, we're born in sin. We're shapen in iniquity. We don't know anything different, do we? We come out of the womb and we go on to live our lives. And we are unacceptable. We're born unacceptable. And we know nothing different. And we learn to live with it. Such is the fall and deadness that sin has brought. And we call it life. And we even try and enjoy it, don't we? and try and make it our rest, this world. Try and make it our treasure. And we find that it does satisfy the flesh day by day. The mercy of the Lord to his dear children is this, that time comes when they find those pricks in their heart. Their conscience is stirred up. And they become unsettled in this life. And they find, what's it referred to? An aching void. The world cannot fill. Oh, their unacceptable state because of their sin is known and felt in some measure. And that's mercy that does that. That's the grace of God, the mercy of God that reveals that. It's not pleasant to the one to whom it's revealed, but it's vital. It's essential. If you and I are ever to come to the Lord Jesus in a right way, if we are ever to knock in that right way at that door of mercy, something must be known and felt of our own corrupt heart and nature. Friend, it is in varying degrees with various of the Lord's dear children. But I wonder if there's a few of you here this morning and the Lord has begun that good work in you. Oh, and he will perform it. He will continue it. And he will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ and that day of his revealing. And that day of that revealing to you as your Saviour and your friend, your Redeemer, your loving Saviour. And him that cometh to me, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Necessity brings. Necessity drives. Oh, it's the prayer of necessity that's put in the heart. Oh, a spirit of truly seek is put within the soul. A desire, a hungering, a thirsting after righteousness, a need of Jesus Christ. Oh, it becomes a necessity. I must have Christ, or else I perish, or else I die eternally, without hope, lost forever. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So we come to that door again. And there's access. Oh, there's no locks and bars. Oh, there is that mercy to be found. Oh, the grace of God to be made known to a poor sinner. Oh, and it is through the Lord Jesus that these things are made known and revealed. There's access, there's acceptance. And he is the answer. I wonder if there's a few of you that are inquiring souls this morning. Maybe you've got questions. Or maybe in your heart there are questions. You know, you can think of the Lord Jesus, and the Word of God sets before us that He is our way of approach to God in prayer. We have access and acceptance in prayer before a holy God. We have things we need. There are things that we need answered. There are things in our lives that we need help with. We need direction. Things in providence. We don't know what to do, which way to turn. Oh, friends, what do we find? What do we see in the Lord Jesus? Oh, there's an answering of all these things. The Apostle Paul, he had a thorn in his flesh, and he wanted it removed, and where did he go? He went to the throne of grace. He asked the Lord. He called upon his great and holy name. He got an answer. And the answer was this: but my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. And what was that then? The effect of that? That answer that he got at the door of mercy and love and kindness. Well, he was told that he must continue with that thorn in his flesh, but that the Lord would supply him the daily grace and the help that he needed to live it out, to walk it out, to endure it. What did Paul say? He said, most gladly, therefore, but I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Oh, there, the answer. The answer, friend. Oh, what is the question that you have this morning? Is it, am I made a real Christian? Or is the question that arises in your heart, am I really? Am I one of His? Am I born of God? Is that work of grace really in my heart? Who can give you the answer to it? Oh, what one who observes your life, a well-meaning loved one or friend, they may try and reassure you. And they may be right in it. They've seen something of your life and the way you've walked it, and you receive it as a comfort, but it's not it, is it? Oh, it may be an encouragement to you, but it's not it. You can't die on the good opinion, can you, of a highly loved and esteemed loved one or friend? Even one of the Lord's servants, or a godly, gracious person that may have a good opinion of you. Can you close your eyes on this life and launch into that world unknown based on the good opinion? No, you can't. No, you can't. You want something solid. Oh, you want a reality to it. Where can you get that answer? Who can give you that answer? Who can decide that matter for you? Oh, it's surely the Lord Jesus. You channel that mercy of love down to your soul. Oh, they open up a river flowing into your heart through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, He's the answer, isn't it? Then, friend, keep knocking. Oh, give Him no rest. The Lord Jesus speaks, doesn't He, of importunate prayer. and to keep knocking. Friend, the encouragements are there. Oh, may you and I be found with the Lord himself teaching us the invitations and the sweet promises of his own word. Oh, and may you and I, by experience, have this when we get to the end of our days. Oh, to know that you are one of those that knocked at that door. You know, we can come right down. We don't need to speak of high and great things, do we? Oh, but, you know, sometimes these things begin small, with the smaller details of our lives. And that coming to the Lord in prayer, with something that we might, in a year or two, forget. Yet the Lord has been pleased to bring you to that same door. In providence, he's brought you to the same door where salvation is found. He's brought you to plead the same name, the name of Jesus. Lord, help me. In providence has been proved acceptable. You've proved access, and the Lord has proved an answer through it. Then may the Holy Spirit, may the experience, the outworkings of our lives lead us in providence and grace. May they be so intertwined that we find this same Jesus, the answer to our needs for today and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Amen.
God willing, Sunday school will be in the vestry this afternoon with an address by Mr. Parrish. The youngest class being at Bethany. On Tuesday evening, Mr. Parrish is again expected to preach. And on next Lord's Day, Mr. Graham Cottingham is expected to preach. And the collections next Lord's Day, God willing, will be for the suffering in Turkey and Syria as a result of the earthquake. Let us close with hymn 180. Lamb of God, we fall before thee, humbly trusting in thy cross. That alone be all our glory, all things else are dung and dross. Thee we own, a perfect Saviour, only source of all that's good. Every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood. Hymn 180.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.